The workshop tonight is on the power of faith. We've been doing this since, I think this is our fifth time. I've lost track of time. And we're going to say some things that we've said before, but we're not going to spend a lot of time on those things. Each workshop pretty much stands alone. However, it is important for all of you to know there are some fundamentals that we shared at the very beginning of the workshop that we're not going to be able to spend a lot of time on. So we're going to build, certainly we're going to continue and grow and increase in our understanding of faith. Now, there are no fill-ins tonight. I gave all of it to you. This is more of an outline to help us stay focused. I'm going to go ahead and start by asking, who was here last week? Okay, great. Who was not here? Bold enough, raise your hand. Who was not here last week? Okay, all right. The majority of you are here and you're back. I want to just review. In the handout, I want to review because it's very important. How many of you remember we blindfolded a volunteer last week? You remember that? Okay. And so it is really important that you remember the lessons. And we're going to pause for a moment to remember the lessons from the blindfolded volunteer. I almost feel led to try to get someone who wasn't here. How many of you who weren't here would be interested in kind of doing a little demonstration? Or are you scared or afraid? Come on up, my brother. Okay. Because I want you to remember this example. There is so much in an example and an illustration, and this is one of my favorite ones when it comes to faith. Tell me your name. Tell us your name.
I'm Dave.
Okay, Dave, did you come by yourself tonight?
I did.
Okay, so that means we have to find someone, or we're going to have you by faith, because you're going to need, I'm going to do a little experiment. It's going to take like 3-4 minutes, but you're going to have a partner that you can sort of more or less trust. That's the best word.
Just met him. He was cool.
Okay, come on up. You are someone that Dave trusts. All right. Were you here last week? Okay. Your name, sir?
Jerome.
All right. Well, this is perfect. God set this up. Didn't he do a good job? It's going to be good. Dave and Jerome, come on over here. Okay? All right. One of you guys just hold my mic. Can you come and be my helper? Thank you. Dave, take a look around you. What do you see? Tell me some of the things you see. Okay, hang on. What do you see?
People.
What else?
Seats. Lights. Cameras.
Clothes.
Action.
Hair. Okay, clothes. Hair.
Yeah.
Shoes.
Clothes, yeah.
I'm adding clothes, hair, shoes. Jerome, do you agree that these things are true?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
Much. You see a board, there's a whiteboard, there's a, all right. So what I'm going to have you do, Dave, is I have this wonderful purple scarf. Will you blindfold yourself? Thank you, sir. And you're in the house of the Lord. You have to do it in such a way where you can honestly tell me you cannot see. Let me know when you can't see. I have a double scarf. Can you see?
Cannot see.
All right. We're going to believe that. Okay. You can sit down for a moment. I may need you again. Jerome, can you see?
Yeah.
Can you see Dave?
Yeah.
Dave, can you see Jerome?
No.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Now, I have a few questions for you, Dave. I've got my hand on you just to let you know it to me. Just because you cannot see what you saw before, did these things stop existing?
No.
Do you believe they are still real? Even though you cannot see them?
Correct.
Why is that? You saw them before.
Yeah.
Right? I'm putting answers out. All right. Well, we're going to have you walk through. So we're going to say that these are what we call the physical realities are still there. They have not changed. So we're going to have you navigate through this reality. We're going to have you move and make some decisions. And Jerome is actually going to be the one who sees, and he's going to give you instructions, okay? And the goal is for Jerome, you are going to do, Jerome, here's the plan. Your job is to have him walk. I'm just going to tell you because I can't say it out loud. This way, that way, this way, that way, and end up right over here like that. Now, Jerome, do you think you can do this?
Absolutely.
Dave, I gave Jerome some clear instructions of how you navigate through this room. Do you trust Jerome?
Yeah, I think he could do it.
Okay.
All right, Jerome, we're going to give you your own mic. Ready? You have about, now you got to try to get this done within like a minute and a half.
Okay?
So, and you cannot touch Dave. You can't, you have to give him instructions. So begin now.
Take three steps to the front. Take to your left. Take eight steps.
Can you bring the mic closer to your, yeah, go ahead.
No.
Could you put the mic closer to your?
No, all right.
No, don't touch him. You can't touch him.
All right. No. We gotta come this side. Come to this side. Turn. Make a right. Turn to your right. Take two steps forward. All right. Now, your left. Turn to your left. No. You turn it too far to your left. Too far. That's perfect right there. Stay just like that. Turn a little bit to your left. Right. Perfect. Right there. Take three steps. Okay, stop. Now turn all the way to your left, right there. Take four steps. Okay, stop right there. Back up one step, though. All right, now turn to your left. Take six steps.
Little trip.
Okay, we had to help him here.
All right. Yeah, but I don't know what. All right. So,
almost done.
Take a left. Turn to your left. Now, take seven steps. Hold on. Stop right there. Now, turn to your left. Take one step. Keep going. One more step. Now stop. Now turn to your right. Step forward. You're going to hit the chair. Now take one more step. One more step. Now turn to your left. No, turn to your right. Turn to your right. Now back up.
Okay. Actually, you sat in the wrong chair. Now, that was a great job. Now, both guys, stand up. Again, let's give them a hand. Okay? Give them a hand because this illustration is something we want them to remember. We want you to remember. So give them another hand as they go make it to their seats. Thank you. All right. Now, what's interesting is I'm going to kind of, you know, because I'm giving. Now, notice, and Jerome, we're going to talk about you, and Dave, we're going to talk about you. Dave, you were very good in trying to follow the instructions, and thank you for doing that. Jerome, you were doing the best you could without hurting the man. Now, he tried to give what we call, Jerome gave what we call specific, like take six steps, he anticipated, right? What if Jerome had said, now again, for those of you who are listening, Dave, I'm going to have you go around in a circle, and I'm going to have you end up sitting in a chair. Would that have helped? Somebody says no, somebody says yes, or this is the goal, this is what I'm going to do, you know, or please, when I say stop, when I say go. So what I'm saying is that the way Dave was listening to the best that he could, following instructions, right? Sometimes it looked like the instructions were not right or best, but he did the best you can. Walking by faith is just like that. When we walk by faith, we believe in a reality we cannot see. You are not just believing blind, like, okay, maybe it already exists. When God says it is so, it is so. You just can't see it with your physical eyes. When God says, you know, and I don't want to get into all the details, God's word reveals unseen realities. And when you can't see it, but you believe they exist, who is supposed to tell you where to go, what to do, when to go, how to go? The Holy Spirit, who sees it all. So when we walk by faith, and the Bible says we're to walk by faith, we're supposed to walk by faith, by not in an unseen with a reality of an unseen realm, and the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us in the way that we should go. So when we're walking by faith, we are not walking as if something is not real. God is saying, I can see, I know you can't. But you know what? The more you begin to hear God, you will start. Now, faith will begin to do something different. Now, again, this is a human exercise and it's physical. But your faith will begin to see what you can in the spirit world. You'll start to see things. And the Holy Spirit will give you faith eyes. The more you spend time in the Word of God, it starts by hearing the Word. And then before you know it, you start seeing what it is you believe. So let's say, I don't want to say too much about that, but I want you to remember this example. When God says walk by faith, I want you to kind of grasp a little bit of that, some of the lessons. Now, faith, this is from last week. I gave a handout and you had some fill-ins. These are some of the areas where we had some fill-ins, but you're going to hear these again and again. You know, repetition is the mother of learning. So for those of you who you missed some of that, this is a little bit of a review, and I wrote that review. Faith is the assurance of unseen realities, okay? Faith is aware of realities that are not revealed to the physical senses. I'm aware that they're there. I know I can't see them. It looks like they're not. It looks like nothing's happening, but I know they're there, and I know they're coming. I know I'm going to be eventually sitting in that chair. God says, it's my goal to get you to that chair. That means the chair exists. That means God knows exactly how, when, where to get me there. I will end up there. Can you see that? Romans 4, 17, 21. We're not going to read it, but Abraham, the father of faith, he is the father of faith for a reason. And we learned about how when Abraham was told some things, he laughed. He didn't believe it. He wasn't always believing in certain things. He acted, he trusted, but there were times he couldn't comprehend, how is God going to do this? It doesn't make sense. It's irrational. It's not possible. He experienced those feelings too. So there are times when God is going to speak to you, and at first you're going to like, well, I don't know if I believe that. Don't lie to God. God can tell you when you're lying anyway. So why lie? Just say, Lord, I can't, I don't know. I need help to believe that. So that's why I wrote, Abraham became fully persuaded. The Bible says he became fully persuaded, convinced. And we read, you know, Genesis 17, Genesis 18, as well as his wife. His wife laughed when she was told she was going to be the mother at 90. Would you laugh? You might not even laugh. You might start mocking and cussing somebody out, for some of you, thinking, are you crazy? You know, you're a wild person. And yet it's God. It was God. So Abraham became fully persuaded that God was able to perform what he had promised, even though the physical circumstances and facts all around him were contrary. Just the same thing. James, Jerome was able to say, I'm going to get you to that delay. Notice Dave didn't quit and said, well, I don't know. I don't think there is a chair. I don't know. I don't know. I feel confused. I don't see. It can't be. Just follow the instructions. I know how to get you there. God is the only one who can guarantee things. Your best friend, your mother, your father, everybody, every contract you sign, nobody can guarantee anything but God. We talked about a couple of weeks ago. I said, if God says this is blue, guess what? Is it blue? Is it blue? I know. Okay, hang on.
If God said it.
He wants you to say it. Guess what? If in the natural, it doesn't look blue, it will become blue. If God says it's blue, that means there's blue underneath it somewhere, somehow, some way. How many of you know, and I know this is not a science class, but for those of you who look at the beautiful colors, we live in central New York. How many of you love the beautiful colors of fall? What are some of the colors that we see in the fall?
Red.
What else?
Orange. Yellow.
Yeah. Guess what? The leaves don't turn those colors. Those colors are already there. The green hides them. Go do your little science homework. They're already there. It's just that there's no chlorophyll. The sun isn't there. And so the trees and the leaves no longer produce the pigment for the green. The yellows and reds that you see are already there. When you look at the trees out there that are going to change colors, the red, the orange, What other color we say? The yellows are already there. They just aren't exposed to you. Okay? So when God says it's blue, he wants you to call it what?
Blue.
Now, you can say, we were talking last week about the language of faith. If you're with an unbeliever, you can say, I know it looks white. Like, don't deny. Faith does not deny the physical senses. You can say, it looks white. I know. It does look white. You can say, in the natural, yep, that's how it is. I'm broke. In the natural, I'm sneezing, but it's blue. Can you see that? So depending, because some people will call you crazy. So you have to understand, you're not like, oh, no, it's not white. You don't, faith doesn't say this. No, it's not white. It is white. Both realities, one is physical, one is greater and more powerful than that. So I wrote this down in my notes, and I wasn't going to start there, but I feel like I'm going to go there. Listen to this, and if you're taking notes, maybe this would be the most important thing you could write. I don't know. I'll say it slow. I'll say it three times because I don't want you to just write it. I want you to hear it, and I want you to get it. Don't write it. Don't write it. I'll write it. We can write it after. I want you to listen, and I want to hear, I got it. I got it. If you can't say I got it, you didn't get it. That's okay. Just need more training, more lessons, more teaching. Faith does not deny the physical realities. Walking by faith is not a denial of the physical. That's why I'm saying that's why I don't say, well, it's not white. You don't say that. That is not the language of faith. Faith does not deny the physical realities. But like a plane that flies above, despite the pull of gravity, faith is the activation of another force that's greater than the physical reality. Okay. Let me say it, then I'll say it again. Okay. When a plane, how many of you have ever flown in a plane or seen one? How about anybody here not ever seen a plane? How does a plane get from the ground to the sky? How? There's a force that's put into motion. The law of lift, which is usually called, already exists. It exists right now. So when a plane is gravity, which is another force, gravity is a force that God made. It is pulling down on the plane. I don't know how many tons or how many pounds a plane weighs. How does the plane overcome gravity? Gravity's pulling on it. When a plane flies, gravity is still pulling on it. It doesn't stop. Gravity's pulling on it. But the plane, the pilot, they say, you know what? Who cares? You see, that's exactly what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Laugh again. Ooh, I love it. Come up here. I need to hear you laugh. Come on. Come on, stand up. Laugh again. Faith simply puts into motion and activates a greater force. It doesn't deny. When the plane is flying, it doesn't say, oh, no, there's no gravity. Gravity is still pulling on that plane, demanding that it come down. But faith activates a greater reality. So what does faith do? It looks at the physical reality that God says is not his will for you. Not the best for you, and puts into motion another law. And eventually, it does what it doesn't matter what the physical, it has to change or it has to submit to the greater reality. So the law of lift is just an application of a greater force. If the plane, now, when a plane does not fly, do we say, oops, the laws aren't working today? Something's not right. The law of faith always works. Faith always works. God never lies. So when you're not seeing things, or getting results or whatever it is, you know. And again, don't beat yourself up. It's not about like, oh, it doesn't mean that you had no faith. You may have had little faith. It takes a lot of energy to fly a plane. A bigger plane requires more fuel. Begin where you are. If all you can do is exercise your faith, see, this is the challenge, the problem. I'm going to use the word problem. I know we need a challenge, whatever. We want to exercise our faith, so we haven't even learned how to fly. We haven't learned, we have no fuel in the fuel tank of the plane, and we're going to go at this speed. And we're wondering why the plane doesn't fly. There's a certain speed. There's a certain way the wings have to. You know what I'm trying to say? There has a certain amount of fuel, weight, whatever, all those things. I don't have to be the expert. The same thing. Listen, don't make it complicated. Faith is to be grasped by a believer. If we're supposed to walk by faith, we got to know when we're doing it and when we're not doing it. I don't have to really fully understand the how electricity flows. For us to have lights, look at all those, look up and see all those light bulbs. Are we enjoying the benefit of it? All somebody did, they didn't say, listen, we got to figure out this. All they did is, where's the switch? Somebody else figured it out. God, do not turn faith into a formula. Just work it. Believe. That's what God says. God says, turn the switch on. Believe what I say is true, and that's the end of the subject. It really is that simple, and that's why childlike faith is the highest faith. When we complicate faith, that's when we get into childlike faith is what daddy says to jump, I'm going to jump. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It is nothing. Well, say, how is God going to do that? When? Maybe he's going to use her. You know, God promised he's going to bless me, so maybe he's going to come through him. Maybe, you know, how? I'm not good enough. I'm guilty. I sinned. I messed up. Where does it do? Believe. God does not lie. Faith begins with knowing that God is faithful. If you don't know that, you can't trust somebody. That's why in the example, remember in every example with the last week, I said, you got to get somebody you trust. Now I realize they don't really have a close relationship and you don't know, you know. But if they knew each other, they would know what to say, how to say it. Honey, don't go that far. Honey, you're going to hit something. Stop. You know what I mean? If you had a husband and wife, they might have said something differently or how it's said. And I gave the example of the little blind girl, right, in the fire. The fireman, she's caught in the fire. I know I'm repeating myself, but I need you to get, I don't want you to complicate it and religiousize faith. I want you to understand so that you can apply it and walk by it. So the little girl is blind. Little Mary is blind. She lives in a fourth floor, whatever, apartment building. She has her own bedroom, and if there was a fire in the middle of the night, fire caught, she feels the heat. Anyway, everybody's screaming, yelling, but somehow Mary gets caught in her little room. She makes her way. She's wise enough. She makes her way. She's 5 years old. She makes her way to the window. Everybody, you can imagine, oh, my God, there's a little girl up there. Mary, oh, my God, screaming, all the crowd. Oh, my God, this little girl, there's fire everywhere. The firemen are saying, jump. The legitimate fire people are saying, little girl, please jump. We got. She's not jumping. She's blind. But when daddy shows up and says, sweetie pie, it's daddy, I'm right here, you can jump. What does Mary do? She jumps. So you have to know God. To really walk by faith at the highest level, you gotta have a relationship with a God who you know is faithful. If you don't trust God, if you think God is a liar, you think the Bible is written by man. So in other words, you don't have you're beginning weak. You know, it's like getting on a plane and there's no fuel, and there's no speed, and there's no pilot. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You may have all the parts, it ain't going to take off. Or you might take off and then, whoosh. And when a plane crashes, nobody says, oh, the laws stopped working. They just said something went wrong. If it doesn't take off, doesn't mean that the laws aren't working. We're not working it. So don't blame yourself. Just grow in faith, learn, take some time. These workshops are there to help you understand. So this is what I said. Faith does not deny the physical realities. So don't say, nope, no, no, I'm not sick. You are sick. You're coughing and yacking and whatever. In the natural, you are. You've got symptoms. The doctor gives you a diagnosis. Whatever. In the natural, physically, you got issues. Faith is not about, well, you know what, you know. In the physical, you may have to do some things. However, the God says, I took care of that for you. And I need you now to start saying certain things despite the physical reality. See the difference? We're not denying it. We're saying things and believing things despite the physical realities. And then by doing that and working and applying our faith, these physical realities have to change. They will submit to the authority of God's word. Sometimes they do it instantly, and sometimes they don't. They take time. Because we're going to, next week, we're gonna load it. I mean, we're going to put it, faith must have partners. There are three partners. For faith to really soar and be healthy and be consistent, and that's next week. I'm kind of giving you a heads up. I know, you got to come back. We're not even finishing today. It must have three partners. Three. I'm going to share with you one. Patience. The Bible clearly says without faith, it's through faith and patience that we inherit the promises. Book of Hebrews. There are times when you just got to wait. Just like I may be God and I want Johnny to sit. This is where the throne room is. This is where the resources is. This is where the supply is. But he's over here somewhere. I know how to get him there. And no, I'm not going to just like blink my eye. He's going to have to walk by faith. But if he does it, he'll end up there. But if he stops right here, this is us. Lord, you know, this is just, I don't see it yet. Who says we haven't, listen, who says you're not moving in the right direction? Who told you things weren't changing? Just because you weren't seeing it, you're still moving. Let me tell you, when you begin to pray and walk by faith, you have to believe that things are changing immediately. At the root level, in the unseen realm, things are changing. Because God cannot lie. Okay, I'm all excited, as you can tell. So, faith does not deny the physical realities, but like a plane that flies above, despite the pull of gravity, if you're taking notes, but like a plane that flies above, despite the pull of gravity, faith is the activation of another force that is greater than the physical reality. It's just another reality turned into motion. If it's dark, let's use that example. We come in here, the reality is it's dark. What do we do? Do we say, oh, well, we got to live in the dark. We got to live in the dark. We got to figure out how many steps to get here in the dark. Hey, D, you were here before me. Was it 10 or 12 steps? And we're in the dark. What do? We turn the lights on, which is a whole other subject. You know, I'm just going to throw that in. Just so happens, I don't know, maybe I'll just say it. I'm going to say it. Like even in relationship to spiritual warfare, we're playing games. We're trying to fight darkness with darkness. When darkness comes, we try to adjust to the darkness when all we need to do is turn the light on. Do you know that darkness is afraid of the light? Do you know that when you turn on the light, there is no darkness? You don't adjust to the darkness. You don't respond to the darkness. Just turn on the light. Darkness is going to run like crazy and disappear. That's a higher way. Rather, we're like, oh, it's dark. Oh, God, turn on the light. It's not that hard when you understand God's ways. There's the low ways and the highways. Okay. Faith, the one I said, faith does not deny. Is that the one? Okay. Faith does not deny the physical realities, but like a plane that flies above despite the pull of gravity, faith is the activation of another force that is greater than the physical realities. So faith is the activation. It is. So when you're walking by faith, you've activated something. When you're walking by faith, you're in an activated mode. You're activating another force that God says is greater than any physical reality that you see, hear, feel, touch, or anything like that. Okay, We got to go to our handout because I'll be here all night. Okay. So Abraham is 99 years old, and God says, guess what? You're going to be a papa. And your wife, Sarah, 90, by this time next year. Well, he had a choice. That doesn't make sense against the law, the biological laws, laws of nature. But God said, I'll make you a father of many nations. Well, I got a choice. I can believe it, or I can start doubting and walking down in unbelief and saying, look, you know, whatever. So they chose to believe. They changed their name. They started saying what God said. They started saying what God said. They had to put an action together. They had to have sex together. Yes, they did. The child didn't come without the sex. And I know we're talking online. I'm talking to adults here. They had to act on what they believed, like it was going to come. I'm going to act on what is going to happen. It isn't like, okay, I believe. What do you believe? You got to say it. You got to act on it. We're going to talk about that some more. And sure enough, bingo, Isaac. And you know what Isaac means? Laughter. The cynical people who were laughing about whether God could do it began to laugh with joy. His name, Isaac, means laughter. 2 Kings 6, 8, 17, we read it again, I can't go back. Elisha wasn't concerned at all about the Syrian army, not one bit. He's as cool and calm and like, okay, no big deal. Again, no big deal, but his servant is panicking, master, we're surrounded, blah, 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 read about. So what did Elisha pray? Oh, Lord, you know what? He can't see what I see and what you see. So that's what you pray. When some person is walking at a low level of faith, what they need to do is see. They need to see from God's perspective. But anyway, so he said, Lord, open his eyes. And sure enough, he's like, oh, okay. Now we know what we're doing. So our window into unseen realities is the word of God. You don't get to make up what you're believing when you're talking about Bible faith. I'm not talking about some crazy worldly faith where somebody lied to you, your mother lied to you, your friend lied to you, your employer lied to you. I'm talking about God. Our window into unseen realities is the word of God, because you can't believe if it's not in the word. God doesn't want you to just believe anything. He wants you to believe what he has said and written and declared in his word. So if you don't know, then you don't know. If you don't know what he said, then you can't believe it. So that window into unseen reality is the word of God. The word of God gives us eyes of faith. Having eyes of faith does not refer to physical vision. It speaks of revelation, knowledge given by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we walk by faith and not by sight. So a confidence. So faith is a confidence. It's not, you know, strong faith, whatever. It's not just like, yeah, I think I'm sure. I think, I hope, I guess. Okay? it's a confident assurance. A person pleases God, because that's Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You might serve God and not please him. We're talking about the pleasing level. You are pleasing to me, my daughter. You are pleasing to me. You give me delight and pleasure. When we walk by faith, we please God. A person pleases God when he or she puts confidence in the truth of God's word and is assured of a reality which he or she cannot understand with the mind and perceive in the sense realm. Ignorance of the Bible keeps people in bondage and keeps people blind to the reality of what God has said and done for them. I'm saying the same. Can you see that I'm saying the same thing in every kind of way? Can you see that? There's nothing different. So faith is really a response to grace. What is grace? Let's go back. What is grace? Keep it simple. Grace is God's willingness and ability to do things for you that you cannot do for yourself. Let me say that again. Grace is God's willingness and his ability to do things for you, to you, that you could never do by yourself. We are saved by grace. You couldn't save yourself. So what did God do? He saved you. We receive it. Everything is by grace. God chooses out of the good pleasure of his will to do things. It's his willingness, not just what he did. So when we say grace is unmerited favor, well, God chose to give you favor that you didn't merit. And out of that favor, he saved you out of his favor. He blessed you out of his favor and love. He healed you out of it, you know. But just because things are given by grace does not mean you automatically experience them. They are given by grace and received and taken by faith. So, our response to grace. So faith has to know what God has done and for them. So what God has given by his grace, we must receive and take by faith. Faith is not a work to earn God's love and promises. You're not trying to work, oh my God, I got God. No, faith is not earned. Faith is not about working. That's not what it is. When we get into that realm, then we're in error. Faith, number one, faith is aware and assured of what God has said and freely given. And then faith is just the way we receive and take what God has freely given. We're saved by grace through faith. By grace through faith. So just because God said to the children of Israel, that's what he said to them. He took them out of Egypt. Some of you know the story, right? Remember the whole Ten Commandments? For those. They're in bondage, Pharaoh, 400 years, whatever. He leads them, Moses leads them, parts the sea, all kinds of plagues, miracles, all kinds of stuff. I'm taking you into a good land. It is a promise. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. It's not like where you were, slaves in Egypt, you didn't know who you were. This is a great place. As a matter of fact, I want to disinherit people that are there now. They've taken good care of it for you. But because I own the earth and everything in it, because of their sin and they refuse to serve me, I'm removing them and I'm giving it to you. They go and they get here. Finally, God says, go in and take it. Yeah, but what do you mean go in and take it? He says, I've given it to you. Go in and take it. So just because it's given doesn't mean you possess it. Just because God says, I have given it to you, I've given you healing, I've given you this, I've done it all, you still have a part to play. And the Bible says the first generation failed to possess what God had given. He says, I have already given it to you. I've already made the decision. Just go in. God didn't tell them, hey, listen, you know, there's giants. They're the ones who made excuses for why they couldn't do it, except for Caleb and Joshua. Even Moses and Aaron disqualified themselves. Nobody went in but Caleb and Joshua and a whole new generation who dared to go in and say, that's mine, I'm taking it. So when you're walking by faith, you're just taking what God said is yours. I don't want your portion, I want my portion. Faith is not about trying to say, you know, some jealousy. We don't need to be jealous, it's more than enough. I don't need to be jealous of what you have. My portion is so big, I don't need to be thinking about your portion. God is a big God. This is mine, Pascal, P-A-S, that's mine. Now, if somebody else is sitting on it, they're gonna have to move. And I'm not leaving until they move. All these spiritual forces, oppositions, I'm gonna talk to them. You gotta go. And they've got to go because God's going to back me up because God backs his word. Now, if God says, no, that's not yours, and I'm trying to exercise faith on what is not mine, God is not obligated to back me up. So that's why we have to know what God has said. By not knowing that, I'm working with blind faith. But when I know God says, this is my will for you, not only is my will in future, that's what I want for you. I've already given and done everything for you to have it. Now go take it. Faith says, I'm taking it. And the Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 11, there is a time when we're going to learn, there's 1 week, we're going to talk about the force of faith, the shield of faith, and the fight of faith. The Bible calls it a good fight because there is opposition. There are forces that don't want you to get what is rightfully yours. The Bible says it's a good fight. You win. Matthew 11 says this, the kingdom of heaven suffered violent, but the violent take it by force. So sometimes faith, when you exercise faith, it can be violent to the opposition. Just stay with it. Just be consistent. But here's the thing. If you're listening to people, 1 minute they're talking about faith, 1 minute, well, I don't know if we can. I don't know God is here. You're going to have wavering faith. That's why when you're serious, you're going to have to listen and turn everybody off. That's if you're serious. Here's the thing. You got to stay in your lane until you get to the destination. How many of you know, if I'm on 481 and then I said, oh, you know, I think we're going to Canada. No, I think we're going to Florida. No, I think we're going to California. No, which way? Who's giving? Are we heading north, south, east, west? We're going around in a circle and never get anywhere. But if we say we are heading north, and we're going to get on 81, and we are staying in our lane, we're going to get there. Do we get there overnight? Maybe not. But if we just keep staying in our lane of faith, more will happen. Okay. So it's a response to grace. Now, when a person, now evidence of faith, how do you know a person is in faith? There's evidence. They give evidence. And they don't just give evidence when they're in church in a large service like this and they're all saying, hallelujah, I believe. They're consistent. These four things are consistent with each other. They're united. They match. there's a unity. Four of them are, they all four are united. The first thing that has to come is the word of God, right? I mean, you know, we can't begin. What does God's word say? What is God saying to me? Now, remember, there is the logos, which is the written word of God, and then there's what we call the rhema, the freshly spoken, kind of like baked right out of the oven just for you, word of God. So if we have two people, let me try you, my brother, can you and you? Yeah. Okay. My sister, can you come up? I know, I just like to give illustrations. It kind of slows me down. Okay, you stand over here and you stand over here. No, you don't. You just get to stand. Two beautiful people, right? Okay, handsome and beautiful. All right. God says certain things in his word that are what I call for everybody, right? Now, I'm going to assume that you're born again.
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
Good. So they're both going to heaven. Amen. We don't have to question that. So the word of God says, you know, receive Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It looks like they both did that. The will of God. We don't have to argue about, you know, we don't say, well, you're going. I don't know if it's the will of God for you. It was the will of God. Jesus died for everybody. You just have to receive it. Not everybody chooses to receive it. People do not go to hell because of Jesus. They go to hell because they fail to receive what God has given. I'm going to say that again. People do not go to hell because of God. They go to hell because they fail to receive what God has already given. Jesus already died. They fail to receive it. Okay. Now, the logos is believe in your heart. That's for everybody. Believe in your heart. This is what God's word says for every single person. It says it for your name?
Heather.
And?
Brian.
Okay, Heather and Brian. So that's what the word of God says. So they see it in the word. They're like, I'm going to act on it. I'm going to exercise my faith. Bingo, we got salvation. However, in their daily walk with God, there may be what we call a rhema word. So the logos of the word is unchangeable. But God can say, okay, like I think I used the example last week. I'm going to use it. You know, there's a big conference coming up in Ohio. And Brian is talking to God. And the Holy Spirit says, Brian, I know, but I need you to take time off from work and take some money out of your savings because this is going to be life-changing. What is Brian supposed to do?
Be obedient and go.
Yeah. Now, these two are best friends, and Brian tells
Heather,
listen, you need to get some money. You need to, you know, we got to go. But she's spending time with the Lord, and the Lord says, no. I need you to stay home, Syracuse or wherever you live. You're not supposed to go. What is she supposed to do?
Stay home.
So can you see rhema? God's telling him to go. God's telling her not to go. And both are the word of God. So just because God says to you something, so there is what we call the application of the rhema. You got to learn to spend time with God to hear what he's saying to you on any particular day, at a particular time, in a particular situation. And then let's say he chooses not to go. And sometimes, you know what? God gives you time to obey. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I think I'm going to go. Too late. God says, now you can't go. So it's a daily constant word, hearing manna, getting manna from heaven. So the logos, God will speak. Thank you. You may sit down. So we want to go spend time with the Lord. So one minute you're reading something, you're like, okay, from that I'm supposed to go. And then you might be reading the same passage, and God uses the same passage to say no. How will you know? Your spirit will bear witness. You have an inner witness in your heart. We are led by the Spirit, which is a whole other conversation, but I felt like I needed to share that. So there's the logos and the rhema. The key is the word of God. What is God saying to you? God will never violate his word. He won't tell you to go rob a bank. He won't tell you, go kill somebody. He's not. That's inconsistent with his word. But we need to spend time. What is God saying? So the evidence of faith is God's word. What is God saying? What has God said? Without that, you can't walk by faith, because faith is rooted, begins with God's word. So when you say, I'm walking by faith, I'm like, what do we believe? That's really would be the appropriate question. So what do you believe? What has God said? So if you say, I'm walking by faith, I'm like, okay, what do you believe? What has God said that you believe? Without like, well, I'm just walking by faith. Okay, then it's blind. I mean, you know what I'm saying? In other words, on what particular area? If I wanted to be more specific, you believe in your heart that it is true, that it is so, it is. Okay, God, I can't see it. I don't even understand it. You can be confused in your mind and have faith in your heart. You can have both of them going, absolutely not, that doesn't make sense, this is ridiculous, this is no. I mean, praying in tongues is the silliest thing ever. You either believe that you're speaking to the Lord, you're declaring mysteries, or you're like, oh God, I'm crazy. And your mind will tell you, this is a bunch of nonsense. But what does the word of God say? Study 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and find out what it says. Tongues is the most powerful thing, one of the most powerful things you can do in prayer. So you can choose to believe, I know it's gibberish, my mind is saying stop it, you're repeating yourself, it sounds like you're dee-dee-da-da-da-do-do, whatever. But the Bible says that when the Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost, they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You either yield to it or you don't. You either spend time doing it or you don't. And I found out by experience that when I pray in tongues, more happens. It's that simple. My mind could be, some days my mind is quiet, some days my mind is saying, are you crazy, girl? And there are times I need to pray in tongues when I'm tired, but the Bible says when we know not what to pray for, Romans chapter 8, as we ought, and there are times the Spirit of God comes alongside us, takes hold with us against whatever is going on, and with groanings and utterance which cannot be uttered in your known language, and the mind of the Spirit is known, and so all things are going to work together for good. You see that Romans 8:28 that you all quote? That's because of praying in tongues. Everybody's quoting it by itself, but it is actually the result of praying in tongues. Go back and read it in context. That's how come all things are going to work together for good, because you took the time to pray the way you ought to pray. So, I mean, I'm just saying, there's a lot of things that don't make sense. Getting born again doesn't make sense. You believe a message, that's foolishness. Come on. You had to have faith to believe the message. So God is asking you sometimes to believe things that I'm telling you. Like, God, really? Yes, you're healed. Yeah, but Lord, I still feel sick. Who cares? Keep saying you're healed. Believe, I am healed. Body, do you hear? Body, did you hear what God said? I mean, I'm telling you, there are times I wake up in the middle of the night, I got thoughts. I'm like, no, that's not right, because that's not what God's word says. So shut up. Talk back to yourself. Listen. That's if you want to be serious about walking by faith. We are an unusual people. Okay. Evidence of faith. God's word. You got to start there, belief in the heart, and then you've got to speak it out of your mouth. Silent faith is dead faith. There has to be something in you that releases your faith. You have to be able to release your faith. I can have a faucet, which I do at home, and I need water, and there's water in the pipes. I pay the water bill, the whole thing, and I never turn the faucet on. I will get no water. You have to release your faith, or else it is inactive. Because you can believe it in your heart. You can, and nothing happens. I know I'm saying a lot, but I'm telling you the truth. Listen, I've had to learn these things experientially. I've had to learn them as a teacher. I've had to learn them from the Word of God. I'm telling you, there are people who say, well, I have great faith. No action, no movement. So here's the thing. So you can never tell anybody that they don't have faith. Never. They can have faith. They can have faith and nothing happens. Can you see that? And we can look at more scriptures. So there has to be confession of the mouth about what you believe. This doesn't mean it's got to be perfect all the time and you got to repent when you mess up and lie. Because here's the thing. If you're not saying what God says, you're lying. I want you to write that down. If I'm not saying what God said about me and I know he says it in his word, I'm actually the one lying. See, you think God's lying. You're the one lying. God always tells the truth. So just might as well. Sometimes I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't know if I fully believe it, but I'm going to just go ahead and start saying what you say. I can tell you, when Abraham and Sarah changed their name, they didn't believe it. So when you first start saying what God is saying, you may not believe it. Just keep saying it anyway, because you're not lying. All you're doing is, Lord, I'm saying what you say. I'm just saying what you said. Now, you said I'm healed. I don't feel healed. But I'm going to say I'm healed because you say I'm healed. Just say what God says. Just say what God says. Just say what God says. So you have to begin to put it in your mouth. And then there has to be what we call corresponding actions. And tonight, so we're going to talk tonight about releasing our faith, words of our mouth, and corresponding action. Not just any action. It has to be actions that correspond to what God's word says and what you believe. There are a whole bunch of people that are putting things into action, calling it faith, and messing things up. If God doesn't tell you to go walk on water, don't go walk on water. There are people who say, well, you know, I'm going to exercise my faith right now. I'm going to go walk on water because Jesus walked on water. I have authority to walk on water. Back it up with God's word. There could be a time. Now, if God says, you know what? You need to walk on water. Do you know that Peter said, Lord, I bid me to come? He didn't put his foot down until Jesus said, come. He was given the authority to do it. Only then, but he had Jesus' word on it. Do you see what I'm saying? So you have to, again, going back, God's word. What does God say? If you don't know what God's word is saying, you have to begin there. Got to begin. This is the biggest error that we have when it comes by faith. People are trying to walk by faith and they don't know what God has said. They go by what the preacher said, by their mother said, some tradition said, or what they dreamt about. Can you back it up with the word of God? So, correspondence, let's turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. How many of you know James was Jesus' half-brother? He didn't believe Jesus was the Son of God. He didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah until after the resurrection. And this is Jesus. This is a brother. This is a younger brother of Jesus, a son of Mary and Joseph. He saw Jesus. Jesus was his older brother. And after the resurrection, James became a believer and a leader in the church. And I'm telling you, the book of James is loaded. I mean, just every sentence is like, I mean, he says things that nobody else says. I love this book. I love this book. But here's what he says about faith. Verse 14. We're going to read the whole thing, verse 14, all the way to 26. And before we read it, we're going to, you know, kind of, I want you to look for what, for this. James is basically saying, you say you believe. Okay, so listen. James is saying, so you say you believe, but your actions show that you're not. That's basically what he's saying. You say you believe, okay? How come your actions don't line up? Your actions and your believing ought to be, corresponding. And you're going to see that through the entire passage. And he's going to say, well, okay, you have faith, but you do no works. You don't give evidence. I don't see any sign of it. You don't talk like you believe. I guess you believe, but it's dead. The whole passage we're going to read is just about that. James is saying, without the corresponding actions, words or actions, your faith is inactive. The plane cannot fly. You can have the plane, you have all the ingredients, you can have the pilot, you can have the fuel, you can have the passengers all paid, the stewardess or whatever they call the flight attendants, I guess it's called. Everything in place, the wings, everything. You don't get to the speed, there's no action. All the parts are there. All the parts are there for faith. You got the plane, but it can't work. No movement, no results. And that's what we're going to read. So he says this. What does it profit? What does it profit? It's unprofitable to you. If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, do you not give them the things which are needed for the body? What does it profit if you don't do that? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works or corresponding action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Do you believe that there is a God, one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But they don't serve God. They don't follow God, but they believe. They believe he exists. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect or complete? And the scriptures was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out on another way? That's in the book of Joshua. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We don't have the time. We could dig into that. Okay, what does this mean? What does this mean? The essence is this. If you really, 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 really have faith, there needs to be words and corresponding actions. Without it, your faith is dead. So I wrote down some things here. Dead faith is inactive faith. Dead faith is potential faith. Dead faith is passive faith. Dead faith is unproductive faith. Dead faith is unprofitable faith. So you can have it. You can say, I have it. I have great faith. I have great. Okay, fine, but it's not doing anything for you. Not going anywhere. Now, corresponding actions must always be guided by wisdom and the Holy Spirit. So let's actually talk about that. So we're going to have a little group discussion, all right? Let me find my notes on this. If you've ever heard me teach, I've given these examples. Listen, you just keep repeating. Repetition is the mother of learning. I have to come up with a whole new illustration, a new example. If you get it, it's the same thing every time. So I've given these examples in the past. So let's talk about this woman who had an anointed minister pray for her eyes. So here's the story. And you get to tell me the answer to this. Okay, we're going to talk about corresponding actions. A woman decides to attend a healing service where a famous evangelist with a proven history of healings is ministering. And during the service, she gets called up. While the minister lays hands on her, the woman feels heat and power go into her eyes. She believes at once that she has received a healing from God. So she walks back to her seat. She has her glasses on. The service is over. When she takes her glasses off, her eyes are still blurry and unchanged. What should she do? She needs to go home. She has to get on 690 to get home. Should she get on the highway and drive home without her glasses? What's the answer? How many say no and how many say yes? Okay, where are all no's? Where are all the no's? Stand up. Come on, do a little up and down. Come on, all the no's, stand up and sit down. How many say yes, she should? Stand up. How many have no idea what the right answer or wrong answer is? Okay, got a few. The answer would be no. She should not drive with blurry vision because the manifestation of her healing has not yet happened. So she can't act on that in that way. So she can still believe. So what kind of actions can she take? What are some of the actions that she herself can take or do? Uber. No, she's got her car in the parking lot. Go ahead, sister. She can keep speaking to herself, right? She can go home, take the glasses off, and say, okay, you know what? I believe I'm healed, but okay, it's coming to pass. It hasn't yet manifested, so I'm going to go ahead and keep using my... So you don't want to do stupid stuff. You don't want to stop taking your medicine. Now, if God tells her, and she has the minister tell her, and even then, you got to have a witness of the Spirit, then go ahead and do that. And there are times when the action itself, or while you're acting, but don't be unsafe, unwise, and don't do things unless you have the Holy Spirit or the Word of God backing you up. And then so she does that. Every day she says, look, every day, as often as I'm able, I'm going to take my glasses off. I'm going to say what the Word of God says. When that man laid hands on me, it was a point of contact. I believe I received. I felt the power of God. It doesn't matter if I felt it or not. I know I'm healed, so I'm going to take my glasses. So she does that, and then 2 weeks later, she's healed and doesn't have to use her glasses. Do you see what I'm trying to say? So corresponding actions might only be talking because she can't act on it. She still needs the glasses to see. Yes, my brother.
Is this on? Okay, it is. But wouldn't there really be no answer to the question? It would be dependent on if God told her to go.
That is the answer.
Because even in an example I'm thinking of, Jesus told the 10 lepers to go to the high priest, and they weren't healed when they were with him, but as they went, they got healed.
Exactly. So they acted on his instruction, exactly. But they got the instruction from Jesus. They didn't say, let me go do this on my own.
Exactly. So I was just saying, like, it would be unwise for us to try to decide without knowing what God told her.
I like this brother. Give him a hand. That's so basically, like I said, so that's why we do not, our actions must always be guided by wisdom and the Holy Spirit. We have to pick and choose. It's like, well, first of all, is this wise? If God is not leading me, just use some wisdom. Like I said, if the woman received an absolute conviction in her heart that God wanted her to take her glasses off, she should. However, unless that is there, she should not. And if she's not sure, walk with wisdom. Like if you're like, well, I'm not sure, God's not going to get a lightning bolt because you didn't do it the right way, the perfect way. Wisdom is from God as well. Let's look at another situation. Man, I think I used this a couple of weeks ago about the man who was starving to death. So let's create a scenario. And you tell me what corresponding actions or what can we get from this story? Several doctors and a medical team find a man starving to death while on a missions trip in a very secluded place in the Amazon forest or jungle. The team quickly concludes that the man has been so undernourished that he only has 24 hours to live. Okay, are you with me? Okay, this is a medical team, got doctors, they've concluded, they've tested, the man's gonna die in 24 hours. They offer the man something to drink and eat, but the man insists on keeping his mouth shut. Still alive, but he's keeping his mouth shut. The team asks the man if he's hungry. The man says, yes, I'm very hungry. Sir, do you want to live? Yes, I want to live. Do you believe that food will keep you from dying? Yes, I believe. The man answers yes to all the questions. Will he survive if he refuses to put food in his mouth, chew, and swallow? He can believe all he wants. He can say all the right things. If he doesn't act, he will die. It's really, right? So think about that. He believe, yep, I believe food will, yep, I want to, yep, I believe God wants me to live. Yep, I believe God wants me to live. Yes, I believe this. But he takes no actions that are in line with wisdom. He's going to die. So don't complicate it. And again, it's not like, oh my God, I got to figure out what actions. The first and most important action is to say what God says. So you begin to exercise your faith, and you begin where you are. Sometimes we're trying to believe for something. Okay, I'm going to believe God for $10 million to come tomorrow through a stranger. When I wake up, the doorbell is going to ring. You know what I'm saying? Can that happen? Yes. Is God able? Yes. Is your faith there? Probably not. Yes, sir. Yes, Jerome. Okay. Would you like, okay, go ahead. For those listening online, we have somebody asking a question after he chooses delicious candy. That's okay. You want to wait a minute or what? You okay?
No, I'm gonna go ahead and jump out there.
That candy must be so good.
It's good. This is what I do, though. I love the Lord because he loved me first.
Yes.
I believe that I'm trying to think of the words that I was telling the fellas we were talking about this morning. And it's a potential of growth. I think that how Jesus puts us in a sense of, you know, you being a baby in Christ. I think as you spend more time with God, as you spend more worship with God, as you learn to connect with him, as you learn to pray through your connection, these things become small because you become big in the spirit. So that's what we were just, me and my fellows were talking
about
this morning.
Yes, and amen. So faith is rooted in the word of God, but when you spend time with God, you're talking to God, you're listening to God, you're loving God. You realize he's good, he's faithful, he wants good things for you. It becomes easier to believe. So faith, that's why that is, I know you weren't here, Jerome, but you know, the very first workshop is have faith in God. Your faith is not about, okay, well, let me see if I can believe for healing. Do you believe God? That's why I said, first thing, have faith in God. Because if you don't believe that God is evil or wicked, he doesn't care about you, he wants you dead, he he's going to hit you on the head, or he's not going to forgive you, he's a mean God. But when you find out, okay, God, who are you? And we talked about spending time with God. These things don't just come out of, you know, nowhere. The more quality time you spend with God and listening to him and hearing his word and him loving you and you talking to him, and you guys, oh my God, you find out he wants more than you, what you've been thinking about and dreaming about. He's fun. He's the best thing going. It doesn't get better than him. Then you want to love him. Then loving him is not a commandment. It's something you want to do. You don't need a commandment to love God. You're like, God, you are the love of my life. See, so these things come. So that's why I'm saying Christianity is not a religion, a set of law. It is a relationship, a quality relationship with a God who loves us. So all of the things you're saying as well. So you begin. So let's talk about that. Let's move to the next thing. Your faith may be very small. And the Bible talks about mustard seed. We're going to have a discussion about faith. And in the time allotted, we have about 15 or 20 minutes here. We need to talk about mustard faith seed and also what Jesus said about the fig tree. So Jesus had much to say. And if we can just go back and read and learn from what he said, we can get a whole lot of insight into how this all works. This is for those who are Bible students, and don't worry about taking notes there because I'm only going to say it one or two times, okay? In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are three scriptures, one in Matthew, one in Mark, one in Luke, where Jesus uses the mustard seed, when describing the kingdom. So the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Kingdom of heaven, depending on which translation you have, is like a mustard seed. So he is comparing the mustard seed. It's like the kingdom of is like this. Okay? If you want the scriptures, I can give it to you, but I don't want to right now. When Jesus is describing the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there are all three authors uses that Jesus in his teaching said, the kingdom of God is like a seed, a mustard seed. The kingdom can start so small, but it will grow if you let it grow in you. He goes on to say, Luke, the kingdom of God is within you. So nobody, you might say, but I got Jesus in me, but nobody can see it. Because the Bible says we're born of incorruptible seed. And so initially the kingdom of God is like, it's in you, it's small, it looks like nothing's going to happen. But the Bible says a seed it doesn't remain a seed. The seed is planted and it becomes this amazing tree that everybody can see. It becomes very obvious in time that you're a member of the kingdom. Initially, people might say, I don't think you're born again. You say you're born again, I don't see it. So the kingdom of God grows. It's meant to grow. So he talks about that. But when Jesus talks about faith, there are two things in passages that I like, that I look at. There are two where he says, faith is like a mustard seed. And then there's two passages where he uses a fig tree to talk about faith. And I wish I had so much time. I'm a teacher, you have to say, I want to be thorough. And these passages are so good. So in Matthew chapter 17, let me just kind of have you go there if you can, or you can just listen. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus said that, you know, faith is like a mustard seed, if you have faith as a mustard seed. Now, he didn't say faith is a mustard seed, so I take that back. He didn't say faith is. He said, if you have faith as, you might have the word like, as, I believe as is the more appropriate word if you look it in the Greek, as a mustard seed. So if I have faith as a seed, what good is a seed all by itself? It can do nothing. So we're talking about actions, correspond. You have a seed is only good when it is planted and allowed to grow. Or else it's just a dead thing. So your faith, if it is not planted and allowed to become active in some way, will not do you any good. So if faith is as a mustard seed, this is what Jesus said. You would say. There's some things you would say. There's some things you would do. Because a mustard seed says, let me do what I alone can do. Just put me in motion. Put me in the right environment. Let me grow. So it's not just the size. It can begin small, but you've got to do something with the smallness. It's not small faith that moves mountains. It's big faith that moves mountains, to be honest with you. But it can begin as a seed. If it's allowed to grow, it will say, and then the mountain will move because your saying is activating what you believe. You see what I'm saying? Because Jesus, the reason it can't be small, because Jesus said, oh, you have little faith. In other words, nothing happened because he actually said, you little faith. So little faith didn't do a thing. And then he looked at somebody else. Oh, you of great faith. There was a woman. I love some of these stories. Listen, when I need faith, I like to surround myself. Listen, life does stuff to you. Leaks faith. You know, all of a sudden your faith is high, then low because of stuff and life and stuff. What do you do? What do I do? Go get faith. I go get it. How am I going to get it? I got to spend time with God. I got to hear what God says through his word. I got to surround myself with people. I got to turn the negative stuff that opposes God off. And I got to just hear what God says. And faith comes by hearing God's word. And if I can't surround myself, you know, by listening to teachings or something, I'm going to find it in the word of God. I'm going to go read it. I'm going to read the stories. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to spend time. God, what are you saying? Is this? Blah, blah, blah. I'm going to say it to myself. I'm going to go back. Get some faith. You can go get it. Or some of us is waiting, oh, Lord. Go find it. Be a mature child of God. Go get some faith. So I love some stories. I mean, the Canaanite woman. Oh, God, I love this woman. I love stories of determination. That Canaanite woman, she had no covenant with God. She's the woman, you know, the Syrophoenician woman. She needs healing for her daughter. Her daughter's demon-possessed. She comes to the disciples. They say, lady, get away from us. You're not even a covenant child of God. We're not making a connection. We're not connecting you to Jesus. Be quiet. What does she do? She persists. She finally gets to Jesus, and after you read the passage, Jesus actually, this is for those of you who are serious Bible students, go find out. It actually begins in one of the stories, and it says, Jesus went into a house, he came into the town, he didn't want anybody to bother him. He didn't want anybody to know that he was there, and this crazy woman shows up. She shows up when Jesus himself didn't want to be bothered. He was tired, or we don't know, whatever. So the disciples are like, nope, lady, we're not making the connection. You can't come in here. What does she do? I believe this man has what I need. So she finally gets to Jesus. Jesus said, listen, you don't have a covenant. You have no legal rights to make this demand of me. So she shows up, says, oh, King of David. She starts acting as if she's a covenant child. He sees right through her. Don't be playing pretend with me. She says, oh, son of David. She says, you're not in covenant. Don't be quoting David. So she starts, then she says, okay, I'm going to worship him. I'm sorry. She says, look, I know. She finally, you see, you can't come to God lying and faking it. She finally says, you know what? You're right. I'm kind of paraphrasing. You're right. I don't have a covenant. Yeah, I don't have a covenant. Because Jesus said, I can't take what's covenant and give to you. You're asking for something that's illegal. The way you're approaching me is illegal. Finally, she says, you are right. But I believe that there is a way for me. The little dogs at the table, I may not be able to sit at the table, but the little crumbs, I just want one crumb. And I believe that you have what I need. So I'm not going to take what's not mine. I'm going to take just what's available from me. But I believe that it's enough for me. And you know what Jesus says? I think it's in Luke or Mark. Can't remember. Because of what you said, great is your faith. Go and your daughters. She was like, look, I'm going to say it. I'm going to stick with it. I don't have a covenant. Now, that's a non-covenant. How much more those of us who have a covenant with God, who have a legal right to go before the Lord and look at situations and says, you are illegal. I look at my body sometimes, I'm saying, pain, I don't know where you came from. You have got to go. You can try, listen. And the whole thing also is these passages. Okay, I'm going to give them to you. Matthew 17:20. Luke 17:6. I'll repeat them. So you got to come and write things down when you come to my class or workshop. All right, let's start again. Matthew 17, verse 20. I'm giving the main verse. You have to look at the whole story. Matthew 17, 20. Luke 17, 6. Matthew 21, 21. That's about a fig tree. I love that one. And Mark 11, 22 and 23. Another fig tree. So two of them are Jesus talking about faith and using a mustard seed, and the other two is about Jesus talking about faith and talking about a fig tree. And in all of them, this is what he says. There's some consistencies. He says, if you had faith like this, you would say, mountain, move from here to there, and it would obey you. You would say to this sycamore tree, get deplant yourself, deroot yourself, move from here to there, and it would have to move. So faith moves things, but it means you got to talk to things. Jesus says that faith talks to things, and you may not like it, you may not understand it, but you do it all the time. How many of you drove here? And you were at that red light, and it was longer than it should be. How many of you were saying, come on, hurry up? You talk to lights, you talk to things, door. I don't understand why you're not working. You know, this. You're always talking to things. But when it comes to actually applying faith and talking to things intentionally, you don't do it. You tell your body, body, I need you to repel that sickness, that disease. It is illegal. Sickness, disease, I don't know exactly how you got in here, but you don't belong here. Get out in Jesus' name. And you need to talk to it until it goes. I know, I'm just telling you. Now, you have to exercise your faith where you are. You may have some massive stuff, some big mountain, 10,000 mountains you need to move. Begin with the small one and keep going. Don't try to tackle, you might need help. You know, if I had to move a table, think about if I had a huge table right here or a big piano, okay? And maybe my little faith muscles, my little strength, I can't push it. What am I going to do? What's your name, brother? Andrew, come on and help me. Come on, let's faith. Come on. Andrew, it looks like you're pretty strong, and we're pushing it, and it can't move. What are we going to do, Andrew? Do we give up?
No.
What do we do?
Push harder.
Push harder. Or maybe angle a little bit better. Or what else?
Ask for more.
Bring some more help. But we're not going to go somebody who's sitting over there looking, trying to push in that direction. What are we going to do? We want somebody who's united in faith with us, who's moving it. So what do we call?
Dion,
what are we going to do, Dion?
We're going to push harder.
We're going to push harder. We're going to push together, and we're going to go one, two, three. But what if Dion positions himself over here and tries to push this way? We are not in agreement. Listen, I'd rather have two people pray in faith and agreement than 10,000 people in unbelief. It's not the number of people. It's the faith. It's the agreement. Are we ready? Are we going to move it? You got what it takes? You're going to do your part?
Absolutely.
What about you?
Absolutely.
I'm going to do my part. So I got my little small muscles. We got a little more muscle. We got more muscle. And all of a sudden, it starts to move a little bit. Ready, guys? But we want to move it a whole lot faster. What are we going to do?
Get more help.
Get more help. Can I tell you, thank you, the corporate faith, when you've got a group of believers, things have to move. When you come to church with your faith and my faith and your faith and his faith, and we're praying, things have to go. Things don't go because we're not in faith. We're like, well, I hope something happens. No, something has to happen. When you have this kind of attitude, thus saith the Lord, it has to happen. I believe God said it. He doesn't lie. I'm going to start saying it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to trust. I don't have to understand how it happens. I'm just going to believe that God is big enough to do what he said. That's what Abraham said. He became convinced, fully persuaded. He didn't know how Sarah, all of a sudden, who's been barren for all these years, is going to have a baby. He became convinced that what God had promised, that God was able to do what he had promised. Abraham didn't try to go say, let me see, Sarah, probably a little egg's going to, you know. He didn't go there. He just said, God, you said you're going to do it. This is my word. Now, God is not telling a whole lot of 90-year-olds that they're going to have a baby, okay? Can you see that you have to have the word of God? So we can't claim what God has not said. Faith begins with an awareness of God's word, You start saying it, it gets in your heart, and then before you know it, it starts to leak out of your mouth without working at it. And then your actions start to line up, they're in unity, things start to happen. They don't happen like this necessarily overnight, especially if you haven't been walking by faith. A whole bunch of people haven't been walking by faith. But let me just tell you, if you're born again, you already have faith. You just haven't been releasing it. You haven't been exercising those muscles. I'm going to end with a personal story. So last year, I decided I got to get my body. I'm getting a little older. I'm going to start working out. Okay. So I decided I'm going to start lifting weights. And as a physical therapist, I kind of know all the laws and rules. And so I find the plan that I wanted. So I began, I'm like, oh, God, I wanted to, especially the upper body, okay? I like walking and things like that. I'm like, I'm going to get my upper body strong. So I start with 3, 5, and 8. I'm telling you, about 8 pounds, I couldn't do a thing. Oh, my God, 8 pounds. So I would start with my 3-pound weight, then my 5-pound weight, and I was, working on it. Oh, God. But after a while, eight got easy. So I said, we're going to go from 5, we're going to do 5, 8, and 10. So I worked on that for a while. It was consistent. I worked 6 days a week, 3 upper body, 3 lower body. That's what they was recommending. If I missed a week or missed a day, I didn't beat myself up. But I'm like, I got to be consistent because I want to strengthen my muscles. So I got to use my muscles. If I don't use them, they don't get strong. If you don't exercise by faith, use your faith, release your faith, you're not strengthening your faith. So finally, I'm like, 10 pounds is easy. So I went then I went 8, 10, and 12. And finally, I got to 10, 12, and 15. And I could do triceps. I could do all kinds of stuff. My body started to start looking good. I could feel a change. Well, in the last couple of months, I went on a sabbatical. It just didn't work out at all. I can't remember, where did I go? I went to California to move my daughter from Arizona. Honey, I don't know if she's listening online, probably not or won't be. And I know I came back and I'm like, whatever. Well, I decided to start working out again. Guess what? Guess what I was able to do yesterday? 5, 8, and 10. So it was better than 3, 5, and 8, but, I could feel a 10. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to have to go back from 10. I got to go back to 12. I mean, 10 used to be the beginning, the easy one, and I would do the 10, and I'd go to 12 and 15. And 15, I could do the 15. I could do legs. I could do all kinds of stuff. And I realized, what happened? Weakness. If you get used to releasing your faith and walking by faith on a daily basis, you will grow in faith. Your faith, it's the same muscles. It's your faith. You already have faith. When you were born again, God gave you a measure of faith. You just need to learn to grow, use it, and walk by faith. Let's stand up. It's 8:29. Praise God. Hope you got something tonight. Hallelujah. I was going to say some more things. I had some notes about the scriptures, about faith. Faith moves things. Faith involves words and so forth, but I feel in my heart that the Lord is telling me that you have enough. You have enough to chew on, but let me just tell you, this is where I'm going to end. Jesus was very clear, and so was James. Be not deceived. It is not the hearers of the word that are blessed, it's the doers of the word. You can say, I got that, heard that, understand how it works. So you heard. If you do not apply or use what you've been told, you have wasted your time tonight. So begin to go before the Lord and say, Lord, how can I begin to apply my faith at the level that I am? Don't try to be like your brother, your sister who has walked by faith, or someone like me, who teaches on faith and has had to walk by faith for a number of years. And even me, I'm not happy with the level I'm at. There are days when I do not. I'm better at it, but I'm letting you know, don't compare me. Don't look at you. And begin to take a step towards believing God. even if it's imperfect, if it's wobbly, Lord, I'm scared, I'm not sure, do I, don't I, begin. The journey begins with a step. God will honor you. The wind will be on your back. God's trying to help you to walk by faith. It pleases him. So if you're walking by faith and you're attempting with all your heart, he's going to be there to support it. But take a step of faith. And you may have to say, God, where's my faith weak? Where do I need to go lift some 5 pound? I need a, and don't begin lifting the 30 pound faith. You're not there. All of a sudden you hurt yourself. Then you're the one walking on water. We got to go save you because you drowned. Do you know what I'm saying? Start with the 2 pound. If 2 pounds too heavy, start with 0.5 pound. Believe God to find a penny, then a dime. You know what I mean? Before you say, Lord, somebody's going to come and give me $10 million. Begin where you are. And as you begin to do that, you're like, oh, this is how it works. Okay, let's take another level. Let's go up a step. And God will begin to challenge you. The Holy Spirit will begin to challenge you. And before you know it, a situation shows up out of the blue. And you are unmoved. Because you have trained yourself to believe God. And everybody's falling apart. They don't know what to do. You're like, what's the problem here? And they think you're like, something's wrong. You're completely confident that everything's going to go well. You sleep at night. You're at peace. You're laughing at the situation. You're singing a song. You're brushing your teeth. And everybody's saying, oh, my God, I'm in fear. I'm in anxiety. Because you know, it's not that you do this, but I'm letting you know these things are possible. That is God's joy and delight for us, that we walk by faith. So, Father, we thank you for tonight. I pray that.